All right. So you're probably all wondering, why is she bringing a pineapple up on stage as we prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper? But we're in the South, so I'm going to assume that all of you know what the pineapple has come to represent, right? Or some of you? Hospitality, that's right. So at this time, I do have to say thank you. We've been here 2 months now, Sajan and myself, and we've definitely experienced that Southern hospitality and are so grateful for the way you've all made us feel so welcome. But at this time, I do want to draw our attention to the cross. And there is a connection here between the pineapple and the cross. So there's a reason that the pineapple has come to symbolize hospitality. And so let me give you a little history here that I learned that was kind of cool. Back in the 1550s, they used to go to the Caribbean islands, and they would ship pineapples from the Caribbean islands to Europe. And they were so rare that, get this, one pineapple would cost you $8,000 in today's currency. $8,000. They were such a treasure. King Charles II of England actually commissioned a portrait of himself receiving a pineapple as a gift from someone. It was a big deal. So clearly only the wealthiest people could afford a pineapple. So if you hosted a party and you served a pineapple at your party, that was the epitome of hospitality and generosity towards your guests. And so you can see why a pineapple came to symbolize hospitality. In fact, by the 17th century, get this, you could actually rent a pineapple to display at your party, just in case you didn't really have the means to be hospitable, but you wanted to be, to appear that way. So it got pretty incredible there. But so that's how we got this symbol of hospitality today. And last month, I bought a pineapple. And no, I did not pay $8,000 for it. I think I paid about $2 for it. A few months ago when my house was full of teenagers, we'd go through a pineapple in one night, no problem. But it's just the two of us now. And if any of you are empty nesters, we need a few tips on shopping for two. Because that poor pineapple sat, we ate half of it, and then the other half just sat there in the fridge, and I ended up throwing it in the trash. So that begs the question, how on earth did we go from valuing something at $8,000 to getting to this point where I would throw something in the trash without really thinking much about it? So we've gotten so accustomed to pineapples, and they're so easy to obtain now that they've lost their value. And I think you can see how we can tend to do the same thing as we think about the cross. We tend to treat Jesus' death on the cross in the same way. We take communion week after week, and we don't stop to consider what it cost our Father in heaven. We've grown so accustomed to hearing about the cross that we've lost our awe of it. And we've made grace so cheap that we don't see its value anymore. So some of you might know that Saj and I lived in Albania for 2 years. And if you're a little rusty on your geography, Albania is a country just north of Greece in Eastern Europe, and it's predominantly Muslim. So we were there shortly after communism ended, and they were under communism for a long time. So there were many people there who had never heard of the name of Jesus. They had never seen a Bible. And we often would need to explain to people the difference between Christianity and other religions, because they were seeking God desperately after so long under communism, and they wanted to know. So we'd often explain to people the difference and share with them how in all other religions, you have to do something in order to earn your salvation. You have to be good. You have to follow the 5 pillars of Islam, or the 8-fold path of Buddhism, or the 10 commandments of Judaism. There's an awful lot of numbers to remember in these religions, right? But in Christianity, the main difference is that you know how many things you have to do in order to earn your salvation as a Christian? Zero. Zero. That's it. God, our God is so great. He knew that we could never, ever be good enough or do enough things to stand in his presence. He knew that, but he still wanted to have a relationship with us. So you know what he did? He did it for us. He was holy for us and lived that holy life for us. And then he sent his Son to take on our sins on the cross and bear our punishment just so that we could have a relationship with him. And that's the simple gospel message that we would share with people. You've all heard that before, but when they heard it for the first time, they were in awe that there was a God in heaven that would do something like that for them. And they readily followed him. It was amazing. And just one time, Sajan shared that same message with somebody else from a different country, and their response was, "That's just impossible. It's too good to be true. It can't be that simple. It can't be that easy." And they wouldn't believe it, but they were still in awe of it. And, you know, hearing somebody see it with those fresh eyes for the first time, it helped me to appreciate what I had in a new way, and helped me to really just hear it with fresh eyes and see how precious that gift is that God lavished on us. And it really is a precious gift. I want to read Ephesians 1, 7 through 8. And I ask for you to try to hear it, maybe as if you're hearing it for the first time. It says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us." Guys, that's like God's grace, you know, God lavishing grace on you. It's like somebody traveling to the ends of the earth to go buy you a pineapple and bringing it back, not to show off at a party, but for you to eat and enjoy all by yourself for free. I mean, it was incredible. He's lavishing grace on us. But just like today, it takes an effort for me to realize and appreciate how wonderful this pineapple is and to have a conscious effort to stop and appreciate it. In the same way, we have to make a conscious effort to slow down and stop. And in a country where we've all grown up hearing about Jesus all the time, it takes that effort to stop and remember what a priceless gift we've been given. So how about you? When you take the communion, do you stop to be in awe of that precious gift that you've been given? Do you stop and consider how unworthy you are, how unworthy we all are to receive that gift? And do you stop and marvel at how God lavishes that gift on you anyway? Do you stop at all? I know I've been there. After 30 years as a Christian, I realize I must have taken communion about 1,500 times. And it's hard to keep our hearts soft and grateful, or at least as soft and grateful as we were when we first heard that message, if you can even remember when you first heard that message. But the reality is, for me, I'm just as sinful and in need of that forgiveness as I was 30 years ago. We all are. And if I had to stand before God's throne tonight, I could only stand on the blood of Christ, not anything that I've done. So I don't want to take God's grace for granted the way I take this $8,000 pineapple for granted and value it at $2. I want to be in awe of the cross every day. So I'd like to close by reading Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And my hope is that you can hear this again as if you're hearing it for the first time. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, just because sometimes when you hear a different translation, it helps you to hear it with fresh ears. So imagine you're just hearing this for the first time. And I hope you can let it hit your heart in a new way before we pray. "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in this unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So let's pray as we take the bread and the fruit of the vine. Holy Father, God, we are in awe of you today. We're in awe that you would love us enough to pay the ultimate price so that we could have a relationship with you. God, I pray that we will not take the gift that you've given us for granted, that we can see it as precious and priceless, and that, God, as we take this Lord's Supper here, God, that you can help us to be in awe of you again and grateful as we were when we first found you. We love you, God. We thank you for Jesus and all that he's done in our lives for us, and we pray in his name. Amen.